Nice.
Hopefully we are live. Let me check. I never know with technology. All right, we are live. I am so excited for today's show. All right, hold on, guys. I got to try that one more time since we're live, and I want to be like, happy Friday, everybody.
Happy
Friday.
Wow. Happy Friday.
Let's talk about some dispatching today. Let's learn some shit, people. Let's be better. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Welcome to Happy Friday.
Live. All right, for those of you who are on Facebook, if you're on LinkedIn, if you're on Twitter, you need to head on over to Zoom. That is, damn it, YouTube. You head over to YouTube, not to Zoom. The links are in all of the descriptions. Go there. Make sure when you go there, you hit the subscribe button. Hit the little bell that reminds you or notifies you when I go live, because there's about 2 years of content sitting on my YouTube channel. Free content teaching you how to do lots of things. And then also, I want you to hit that live chat button. Make sure that the filter is on all chat, not just top chat. If you see hit the live chat button, you'll see that you can make friends. It's quite chatty in the YouTube area. So today, we are going to talk about dispatching. So for those of you who are like, Cassandra, why are you so obsessed with dispatching this week, dispatchers? And I'll tell you why. And it's worth your time to listen to me. First of all, for those of you who are new to the industry or new to dispatching like I am, I would love to know, and that's why I've invited Steve here with me and some others later on in the show, I would like to know, what does your job look like? It is an exceptional service, and it's something that we all rely on in the industry. But truly, have you all met a dispatcher? Probably not. So that's goal number one, is to peel back that first layer of this complex onion. But there are many layers underneath dispatching that utterly confuse me. And for shippers and brokers who've been burnt by these mysterious layers, it angers them. You bring up dispatching, sometimes it angers them. So I brought Chandler in. He's a broker. He's in Dallas, Texas, Chandler?
Dallas, Texas.
Good spot.
1 mile right south now. Of I-20.
South of I-20, wherever that is. I like Dallas. Chandler's going to help me peel back this onion. And Chandler is one of my favorite Madtropolis people. But Chandler and I talked about dispatching. And if you've had a lot of experience in the industry, you know that sometimes as a shipper or broker, you don't know who you're talking to. When they say they're a dispatcher, they could be a broker, an agent, a carrier, something else. So here's what we're gonna do. Everybody's gonna go on over to YouTube. They're gonna hit the live chat button. They're gonna hit the subscribe button. They're gonna join in the conversation. In a little while, after we peel back the first layer of the onion, we're gonna bring some more people on. And we're gonna have open mic if you wanna join in. But first, I want to welcome Steve. Steve, where are you right now? You look like you're in a command center. It looks cool, by the way.
It's awesome looking.
Yeah. And we're working on VR to do it. But anyway, yes. So I'm in Brownsville, Texas. So I'm eight hours away from Chandler. I'm on what we called, Highway to Mars, because SpaceX is down here. So I won't name more corporate brands anymore. But anyway.
What's the name of your company? Since you're helping us out today, you can talk about your
Okay, if I can say it, that's fine. Yes. A fetch desk. Okay.
What is it, fetch desk?
Yeah, like fetch, like go get data and stuff and whatever and bring it to your desk. So fetch desk. And we feel, and I agree, the word dispatcher is not clear. Reason why I use the word load finder. Mm-hmm. When we talk to the new entrants or new carriers that need our assistance, we're very clear on what we do for them. First of all, we tell them, look, we're not a freight broker, so I'm never going to pay you. It's reverse. You're going to pay me a small fee, $30, $50, whatever we do.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's kind of like an answering service. Okay, we're going to answer the phone for you. We're going to fill out packages for you. We're going to do back office stuff for you. What is back office? Sometimes the drivers take off. Damn it, I forgot page 3 for PDF. I didn't take the picture, whatever. he's on the road 3 hours later. You know, so we do that type of response and follow-ups and call the broker, call the shipper, call the consignee, whatever is needed to be done to have the back office done. And the back office, we see it this way. Anything that prevents you from getting paid, it could be a POD, it could be a page three from a POD, whatever is blocking you from getting you paid. And that's our back office support. We also do bookkeeping, okay? I do digital bookkeeping. I'm not typing. but we do the bookkeeping, and we tell the drivers, you save money if you do this and that and whatever on our proprietary TMS that we provide to them. So when they become a customer of ours, we're pushing TMS. We're pushing them to be digital, you know. That we do sense. Also, we also do IFTA reporting when they decide that they need to do it. And again, I tell the drivers, you better be on some type of a ELD that's giving you electronic reporting, because I'm not typing all that data. Mm-hmm. So we're pushing data integration, data integrity, and all the nice stuff. So we can have them see their income and their expenses and look at, see if they're running profitably on a day-by-day basis or on a week-by-week basis, and not wait for their accountant to do it on a quarterly report. Really? Do it on a three-month basis and see if your company's being profit? No wonder 85% are not making it.
Yeah.
So that's what we do. Our focus is on the new entrants, new drivers, new company drivers that have switched over to become running under their authority. That's our focus. But our primary focus is to, you know, provide them with a back-end service, like an answering service. Yes, we can be called the dispatcher, but I like low finding better mm-hmm. because a dispatcher, and that's why I have the picture in the back. Let's talk about a 911 dispatcher. What is it? Does he find loads? No, he doesn't. You know, he gets a call and dispatches a truck. So that's half of the job, you see? So as a load finder, we're doing a job that the driver, first of all, doesn't want to do it because he's driving. Or maybe he doesn't want to do it because he's tired. Or maybe...
I got confused. So you're offering dispatch services to newer carriers, and they can use they can use your TMS, you encourage them, and you do their back office work. But you switch from talking about dispatcher now to load finding. So you're actually going out and finding shipments for them now?
Yes, on the load board. That's why I call myself a load finder when we provide that service, because they don't want to do it. See, there's a difference. Because they don't want to do it, because they're driving, because I'm just trying to set a base on why we have a niche, why we exist, you know, why we load find.
Let's stick right now with just the dispatch services first, okay. And then we can go to the load finding, which is brokerage.
Okay, so dispatcher, since we're dealing with the driver direct, mm-hmm. Then when we get the load for him, then yes, we do dispatch him. We tell him,
what does that mean? Does that mean like, okay, so Chandler is the one who has the shipment. Mm-hmm. Are you calling Chandler? And
yes. Let's make a transaction with Chandler. So Chandler posts a load for $1.80, whatever. And I call in because the driver's telling me, try to get $2, okay? So we're verbally trying to get the negotiation on the phone. Chandler mm-hmm. tells me, my shipper says 180, man, take it. I don't got no more. Okay, let me talk to the driver. So sometimes I put him on three-way.
Oh, you negotiate rates too as a dispatcher?
Yes. I put him on three-way with the broker. Because remember, I'm helping the driver.
Is that getting into your logistics, your brokering services? Are we edging into that now instead of just dispatch? Or is that normal for dispatchers, for owner-operators?
That's been our experience as a freight brokerage, is that we run into, when we talk to somebody like Steve or the other ones that we'll cover today, is they are going to do some negotiations on behalf of the owner-operator driver. But there's also other variations we can unpack as the show goes on, but that is one aspect of it, yes.
Okay, so let's stick with this is really helpful to know, Steve, and I must be just like so new to this. side of the world, and shame on me because I've worked for a lot of companies. I should have sat down and learned this. So
it's confusing, Cassandra. I've been in it over 10 years. It's still confusing, and we're on the front lines.
Okay, that
it's
makes me
messy.
Feel better.
And it's messy. It's very messy.
Steve, actually, you're doing a really great job explaining it and breaking it down too, so it makes Thank it you. Easier to listen to you. So, because most people, they like to vomit a bunch of services out at me, and then I have to sit there and parse it apart, and then I'm all confused. So when, if you're just a true dispatch service, Steve, like that's all you are, dispatch services, no TMS, no nothing, back office, nothing. It's just true dispatch. Would you still be negotiating rates, or is that already done? And then the carrier's okay. Like, here's the shipment, go call them.
Your question is bringing me to a defined answer, which would imply that I'm some type of a employee of the carrier, which I will just dispatch the truck. That's it. No rates, no nothing. Maybe do a broker package, and that's it. Maybe they don't do it. So I'm thinking a fleet manager normally calls his employees dispatchers. And sometimes brokers also do it. Sometimes they shouldn't, yeah. But sometimes
I've seen it too, actually.
And it gets messy.
So Steve, pursue our transaction that we talked about a minute ago. Are we going to email somebody on your team, or are we going to email a representative of the actual trucking company for the paperwork or the documents?
Like either or, because we know it's messy. We know there's fake transactions out there. We know that. And so the way we make it transparent with a broker, because there's been some brokers like, well, I'm going to email it to the owner. Fine. The owner's going to forward it to me anyway. I have no issues with that. Calling the owner, emailing it to him, because he needs the service. So he's going to get it to me again. Okay. I get it. I fill your broker carry agreement on the behalf of the owner operator or the driver.
I got to remember
that. And then we get the rate con. Now, once I get the rate con, I'm happy, because if I don't get the rate con from you, Chandler, and the trucker driver got a broker to call him from another previous transaction, and he called direct and he booked it direct, then I'm out of that service. So I didn't provide him a rate con, and I can't bill him. So I'm after the rate con. I'm trying to do the best job I can quickly, as faster as I can possibly can, so I can grab the rate con. And that's what I tell the owner operators. If I don't have no rate con in my hands, I can't bill you. Okay. If I don't get the rate con, I don't bill nothing.
That's getting into the other services. Steve, in your opinion, are there any companies or any companies out there that are true, pure, independent dispatchers? That's it.
Yes. There's a bunch of, yes. And they charge 10%. They earn more money than the factory.
Wow. They charge 10%.
Yeah, that's why the factoring companies have partnered up with us. That's why some factoring companies, we have some partners.
Some factoring companies would partner up with that when they could lease on to one of the big names in trucking that have the other dispatch service, which is an agent model. But I'm fascinated they would take the 10% cut because the other one would actually handle all the back office of the financials as well for the trucking company. Included into the 10% or whatever fee they charge.
Yeah, if you have motor authority and you do that, sure. I agree with that. But on the dispatching side, the ones that are charging 7%, 9%, yes, 10%. Unbelievable. Some of my factoring partners are stunned to discover that. Like, oh my God, you know, we barely make 2% and we deal with the money. And then the dispatchers are taking 10%. We are flat rate, so we don't do 10% or nothing. We're flat. I tell
you the carriers. Charge the carriers like a fee.
Yeah, just a fee. You know,
is it monthly?
No, it's per load. Okay. Oh, okay. So if I get the rate con and can dispatch, right? The word dispatch, and I send them the rate con and send them the where to pick up, and we assist Google Maps and all that nice stuff. And then he picks up, and then he gets a copy of the BOL. I always tell him, get a copy of the BOL so you can charge detention and other stuff that we help. Again, we're helping the carrier, you know, raise their price as best as they can. You know, especially during the pandemic, rates were too low. We were assisting some drivers to be very aggressive on detention or other issues so they can
let's
charts or set tutorials.
Sorry, I love the way you're breaking this down for us, but I know this sounds really amateur, Steve, but I need you to just slow down even more. I'm sorry. So no the problem. Questions are really rolling in. Makes me feel so good because I called Chandler before this show. I actually called him a couple days ago too. And I said, Chandler, I'm scared of this show because I feel like this might be something that I'm just the only one who's like stupid and confused. And Chandler made me feel better about this. And it also makes me feel better to see all the questions coming in.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what questions that you see that you want to discuss at this point in the show, because, you know, we've been on it on the front lines and it's still confusing. I didn't know about this 10% or the, I guess you charge a $30 fee is your fee. And then
I'm flat.
The business owner side of me is curious about how competitive is that landscape? Is that you know, something that the venture capitalists want to jump into and dollars towards?
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. Wow. There are some other competitors have gotten some really good funding behind it and have, but they're obviously doing it kind of like a reverse broker.
Huh.
Okay. And we're not doing reverse brokering.
Do you mean by reverse brokering?
Yeah, please explain that.
Yeah. They're kind of like acting I don't want to say brokerage, but the way they're doing the dispatch, obviously by taking a 10% cut, and then they're registering brokers. Okay. And then they pull those brokers. And when a carrier using their app is looking for a load in a specific lane, they're forced to use the dispatcher. So they're like reversing broker. I'm not forcing you to use me. You know, I always tell the drivers, call me like a restaurant, man. You know, if you need me today, you need me today. You don't need me tomorrow, you don't need me tomorrow. There is no contract with us. I'm not trying to earn a salary here.
Don't have a carrier sign a contract?
I have a legal agreement. I have what's called a letter of assignment, which we embed in the carrier package. So Chandler can raise his confidence of zero working with dispatchers, because there are fake dispatchers out there. Don't get me wrong, there are. And in order for us to peel that layer and offer some confidence, 50%, we provide the broker with the carrier's information, the authority, all that nice stuff. We invite the broker to call the driver, but we also embed a letter of assignment with the signature of the driver, you know? And again, if they want to talk to the FMCSA's number that is registered, it's no problem, because the driver wants their service. So it's going to bring it back.
Yeah.
But tomorrow, if Chandler calls the driver direct, it's still fine. You know, there's no contract with us. And we want to be able to work on the back end anyway for these drivers, because we see the need. But the other ones that I've seen that have gotten funded are not doing specifically that. They're not targeting the operational stuff. They're not targeting service, back-end, integration, which is different.
Because this is still confusing. So what I'm hearing, we're 20 minutes in. What I'm hearing is that the first layer, obviously, is just the dispatch itself. We offer no other services. What would be like dispatch? You call Chandler, ask him what time he needs to be there, da da da. Then you call the driver, and then you call the consignee. Is that like, then you call the shipper? Is that all you're doing? Is you just calling as pure dispatch? Is that right, Chandler?
Yeah, that could be a very good definition. Rate negotiation, just
no, that wouldn't be dispatching then.
No.
So the thing is I want to make sure that we're clear of what dispatchers are, because here's the thing, guys and gals, the thing that people don't know and do not understand is that the legal definition and regulations, right? So one thing I put on our list, Chandler, because Chandler and I were talking about this. We're like, maybe this is going to be a discovery session, and then we'll do a follow-up of here's the breakdown, here's what's really going on, here's the law, blah, blah, blah. Because one thing I'd really like to know is that what the spirit of the law was, because when these regulations were created, the regulation for a broker is you're a broker when you're compensated for arranging for transportation. When you have stepped in and started negotiating and you started bringing shipments from a shipper to a carrier and you gauge in that middle ground, you are a broker and you need to have authority as a broker. So the majority of your services that you talk about, Steve, many of them our brokerage, as you know, and you should have authority. So, and so should others. But here's the thing, there's a carve out for an exception. And this is where it becomes very, very confusing in our industry. Dispatchers, dispatch services will say, I don't need a broker license.
Or bond.
Broker authority. They're saying, I'm an exception. I'm a, what the law calls, a bona fide agent of the carrier, which is an exception to having broker services. But here's the catch. Everybody listen very closely to what Steve's been saying. Only about 10% of his business is truly dispatch. So if I was arguing in court or arguing in front of administration, judge, I would say that everything else he offers, he needs to have broker authority, because the exception only qualifies when you're representing that carrier and doing two bona fide agent dispatch services. Otherwise, if you're not an agent of the carrier, you're bleeding into brokerage. So it's interesting, and I could be wrong about this. I need to do more research and better understand this, but the first thing to understand is dispatching. Chandler, do you have any more questions for Steve? Because I kind of want to bring on a couple other dispatchers as well to mix it up on us.
I guess one of the things that kind of really concerned me is that you said that you would provide me with a letter of assignment, but if that carrier, chances are if he's using your service, he's also using a factoring service, so they're going to send their own letter of assignment. So now I got, it's almost like a house that has two mortgages on it. So
I'm sorry to say letter of assignment. What you're talking about is a notice of assignment for factoring. I don't collect nothing from you. You okay. Never pay me. You okay. Know, you pay the carrier. You pay the factor. I don't get involved in financial. What I do is charge the carrier a $30 fee, and that's it. And I give him a 5-day credit, and he pays me or he drops me, or I'm just like a restaurant. I'm like an answering service.
And Steve, what modes do you focus on? Is it truckload? Is there certain niches in the truckload you focus on, drive-in?
Reefers, because they have a lot of issues.
Okay.
And we push detention. We've had very good pushes there and increase our revenue. We're providing a service to increase our revenue.
These owner-operator clients of yours, what trailers are they historically pulling? What percentage? Is it mostly reefers? Is it dry-vans, flatbeds?
Reefers and dry-vans for
okay.
now.
Perfect. Yeah. Thank you so much.
This is so interesting. So what I'm going to do is, and Steve, you're welcome to hang back in the crowd. And if you have something to
sure.
say again, raise your virtual hand.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a little bit of a break, and he was pretty amazing. I'm going to bring on, Danye real quick to try to continue to pull this apart. I want to let you guys know that I'm still trying to understand this dispatch. So when I'm providing any type of legal advice for this, episode, I'm not as concrete with my legal advice here. Of course, you're always going to seek out your own attorney. And you should never rely on a fucking YouTube video for legal advice. It's just here to guide you.
YouTube video is pretty dangerous. If something's broken around the house, you need to know how to fix it. A YouTube video is a good resource.
But I want to know that I'm still developing this out and sparsing this out, only because I truly don't understand this industry. One thing, Danye, welcome to the party. I know that you are... You're constantly with us. You are so clever. I think you know insurance, you know logistics, you know dispatch. So I'm really glad to have you here. One question that was posed from the crowd that I thought was really smart came from one of our resident shippers, Ron Kame, the freight godfather, we call him. Freight godfather wanted to know why a carrier would go to somebody like Steve, who offers dispatch services, but he also offers all these other services. Why did they go to him? Why don't they just go to a broker and work with the broker?
I replied to Ron on YouTube.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Sorry, Danye, to interrupt you. For those of you, I noticed there's quite a few people on Facebook. For those of you who are on Facebook, look on my page, my Mad Gains page, my Cassandra page, or my Gains Law Group page. I want you to go to YouTube, click on that link, go over there and contribute in the comments. Make sure you hit the live comment button so you can see them all and sort have all the comments, not just the top ones. And then hit the subscribe button because there's about 2 years worth of videos there that you can contribute. Go ahead, Danye, I'm sorry.
Hey, wait, well, I got one more thing, Cassandra. Yes. Don't you have a course coming up next week?
Oh,
what's the date for that? Because I didn't write down the date.
So, thank you. This is Chandler. You're the best.
Is it the same one? Because Chandler and I were on that course, so.
It is.
Oh, see, we're graduates.
These are my two graduates. So you guys, next upcoming Thursday, what is it, the 30th? At 2 p.m. CST. I have a paid course. It's in, give me 1 second and I'll pop it into some of the live feeds. So you guys
can. Good, I need to hear things 2 and 3 times.
You do need to hear things 2 or 3 times. So Chandler and Danye and anybody else who attended my past courses will get an email soon inviting them back to this one. So I have a cargo claims training course. It's for anyone who wants to learn the basics of processing a cargo claims. You get handouts. It's live. You can ask questions. It is very intense, so you'll get the replay. You get invited back to additional courses for free. The first one's $99. And that's mainly because you do need to hear it a couple times. And I teach you how to be efficient and process those cargo claims quicker. This isn't really about the law. This is about how to process these things and be better. So I'm going to pop those in. Danya, while you answer the question that the shipper had of why would you go to a service like what Steve offers or what you offer versus a broker, while you answer that, I'm going to try to go into social media and pop these things in.
I was telling Ron, you know that I'm an insurance agent, so a lot of them are my insureds. We have a part for dispatching, and it's to help them with the language barrier, as well as a lot of them, I stay away from the newbies, but I'm just need help with the logistics of it. The reason why I try to help them understand why things are the way they are. It's not just your part driving the truck. It's a lot of parts. You know, I have some of them, and it's to change that concept that some of them think that as dispatchers, and I'm with them. I tell them, hey, I'm with you. I understand that the only two people that know what's going on is that driver and that warehouse person. Okay, but it's not that we're not doing anything over here. Everybody has their job to do, and it's a job of many little parts, and it's easy for everything to, the way it usually happens. But they do reach out to us to our relationships. I have a lot of dedicated lanes with different brokers, and you know, we do provide experienced drivers with the correct coverages that are needed to haul.
I want to piggyback on that as well.
I wanted to talk about the percent.
Okay, don't let me forget. But I want to piggyback on that, and I bet you Chandler's going to say something similar, which is I think that brokers sounds like the carriers will get the completely different services, right? Brokers don't offer back end services for carriers.
No.
So that was to me, that was the biggest difference, Ron, is that. I think for brokers, they're actually, they're the banks of the industry. They're the insurance company of the industry. And they're often the shippers of the industry, but they aren't offering back-end services to the carriers, which would be an interesting business idea, Chandler.
Yeah, it's the lowest hanging fruit that none of the folks with the deep pockets have really gone after. I mean, everyone refers to QuickBooks. Why can't you have something that's QuickBooks focused for owner operators to succeed and make a lot of money with? Because if you have all the right tools, you can be profitable. And I think our industry does not do the best job of bringing that technology out. So I think we need those products. We don't need another load board.
God, dear God. We don't need any more digital brokers either. Yeah. If I hear that one more time. So Jess, what were you going to tell us about the fees?
Ron asked, why do you think 10% is too much? And because it's their authority. It's the motor carrier's authority. I believe that's too much. I believe that's taking from them as well. And I also spoke to you about some dispatching services that go ahead and, you know, there's no transparency. I mean, you want to talk about some things that are going wrong, and then you have the dispatcher stealing from them as well and telling them, oh, the load's 1500 and I'm going to charge 10%. So now you're down to 1350 and the load really paid 1700. And those people are pocketing so much more. I hear it all the time.
Okay,
I mean,
so you've just hit on the next layer of the onion.
Yeah. So, Danya, how does the driver, that owner operator, with his or her own MC, not actually see their real rate confirmation? Why do they not have the transparency?
Well, I don't know. With me, they do. I book the load with them on the phone. I tell them from Spanish to English what's going on. I forward them that rate confirmation in a heartbeat. There's no changing it. Every communication with the broker, they're copied on it, whether I want detention, whether it's a tow new, it's not fair. You know, you got the factoring company charging their percent. I also do work closely with some factoring companies, and I do facilitate, you know, I help them with that as well.
I think I got confused again. Okay, an owner operator is someone who's running under somebody else's MC number. So whose MC number are they running under, Danye? When you talk about owner operators,
because
they're running under their own. They're running under somebody else's now.
Right. Go ahead.
Some owner operators actually, it's an independent driver that has their own MC number. So I don't know how you refer to them as a trucking company, because they actually are a trucking company, but they get to make all their own decisions under their own MC number. So.
Mm-mm. Okay, hold on 1 minute. So many owner operators do have their own MC numbers, mm-hmm. but the pure definition. So like if you are a trucker and you have your own MC number, you are a motor carrier. If you take that truck and you put somebody else's DOT number and MC number on the side of the door and run loads on a different BOL with a different DOT number, the one that's on the side of your door, now you're an owner operator.
This is why I have a friend that has legal counsel. I mean, you make it more appropriate, so thank you.
So we've got to know what we're talking about here, and there's a reason I'm about to ask this, is because I want to know whose MC number they are, because you cited as the how surprised you are about the percentage of money that these dispatchers are taking, or whatever the fuck they are, because they're not dispatchers at this point. If they're taking money off of the shipment, if they're getting 10%, you're not a dispatcher anymore. If you're touching that money, I don't think you're a dispatcher anymore. I like Steve's flat fee. But Danya, tell me whose MC number are they running under?
Well, you're talking to some of the companies that I dispatch for have allowed the drivers to book their own loads or to call us and be like, hey, you know, they're on their insurance. There's a lease agreement between ABC Corp, who doesn't have a DOT or an MC, and is leased to 12345. Now that person as well is able to see and view the load, and then you call in and you negotiate the load. But I do it with him on the phone. Did somebody lose me?
No, I'm still thinking.
Okay. About
and I'm still thinking about all this.
I'm fascinated that Danye does not deal with the newbies. Like, what? How much tenure in the industry is your client mix? Because that was the opposite of what Steve's was. Steve wants the new persons, and you don't want to deal with the new people. So who's your core focus?
More than 3 years.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, it's not that we won't deal with the newbies, but I mean, I've talked to Cassandra before. For my insurance stand, you call me to get a quote for somebody. The whole insurance thing. I run the van. I'm like, no, this guy was so-and-so before. And then I'm not about to quote that new person that the premium is so much and that it's going to cancel down the road and he's going to run fine. Don't want that kind of exposure.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay. Chandler, did you have any more questions? Because we have one more dispatcher to bring out.
No, thank you so much, Danye.
Thank you very much. You're freaking awesome. And anybody, reach out to Danye. She's on LinkedIn and she's always in the comments. Make friends with her, connect with her, and learn more about her. So Jess just went somewhere. There she is. I'm going to bring Jess on, but Adam, stay with us because I want to bring you on next too, because I think Adam knows where I'm going with all this too. Chandler, are you confused? Because my head's still spinning.
I thought I had a brick road to follow, and we're already in high grass.
And the confusion comes with these, hi Jess. And the confusion comes with when you start, first we've got the dispatchers, who are true dispatchers. We're just going to call and handle dispatching stuff, right? Then you've got the ones who bleed into brokerage. They start negotiating rates. They start doing back office. Well, back office work, it wouldn't really be brokerage work, but they add that on top of it. When you start negotiating and finding them loads, now you're into the brokerage. So that gets
taking notes. I'm taking notes. It's
okay, thank God.
We haven't cracked open the Nancy's or the agents yet. I mean, we haven't even gotten there.
No, we haven't even gotten to that part.
No, so I'm thrilled to hear what Jess has to share to this. I'm hoping to get to some familiar ground.
All right, hold on. I got to stretch this out because my head's like cramping right now. Okay, so then now Danye has thrown on the MC confusion, the MC number, because that's confusing. Whose MC numbers are you running under? Are you an owner operator and you're just popping in MC, 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 MC? Or do you have your own? I'm so confused. So Jess, What are your thoughts? What do you need to clear up and help us with? Because I think this is an onion. And I'll tell you, for those of you just joining us, why do you care about dispatchers? Why do you care about my confusion and my anger? I'll tell you why, and that's why I brought Chandler on. Because you can get burnt. If you don't know who you're talking to, you get burnt. So if you're a broker or a shipper, you want to be talking to a carrier. Or you want to know who you're talking to. And sometimes you could be talking to a dispatcher, aka a broker, I'm starting to think, and you don't know. And how you work with a broker is going to be completely different than how you work with a carrier.
And the other thing is, when you work with those dispatchers, what I call the Nancys out there, she might have a basket of 12 MC numbers, and you run the authority for the MC number you're going to book with, and then the truck that shows up at like your friend Ron's place, it's a different MC number altogether than what you just booked with. That's really, and the driver changed. That makes a real mess, especially when you go to paying.
I just filled up my wine glass about three times fuller.
Especially when you go to pay the invoice. Who's supposed to get that check?
Who are you paying? And as a shipper or as a broker, you need to make sure you're paying that carrier, because we all have dealt with Baxter Bailey.
This is why one of our biggest asks of our carrier base is, please write your MC number somewhere on every part of the bill of lading.
And pro tip. Yep. And a pro tip for brokers, on top of what Chandler just said, is dispatchers shouldn't be signing agreements. The carriers sign those contracts, not dispatchers. Ever, ever, ever. Jess, what's going on in your mind? No, Jess has got to plug herself in. Did I mute her? I didn't mute her.
She's not muted.
Did you plug that into the computer this time, Jess? All right, while we wait for Jess. Okay. I'll keep you on. While we wait for you, though, I'm going to bring on Adam, because he was waiting for a while. But so now we need to start talking about the Nancys. Chandler and I have named this risk Nancy. Like, we call them the Nancys. Chandler, can you explain why we came up with Nancy?
We've had a Nancy. It's interesting, because some of our folks who've worked for other brokerages have actually dealt with a Nancy. She has a 915 area code, and I like to use the word, she gives good phone. She tells you everything you want to hear as a broker, that the truck has this, they have that, the driver has this and this. And it sounds like a dream. So you sign up and book, because she can give you a good phone. And that's telling you everything you want to hear as a broker.
What does she tell you? She's a carrier? Do you start thinking she's a carrier?
No, she tells you the driver's empty. He's ready to go. He has all the straps. The load.
Wait, but you think she's a carrier, though?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. And this is her driver. Yeah, this is her driver. And she gives you a good MC number, and she uses like one MC number to find loads in the load board, and you pull her up on the thing, and then you find out she's actually going to book it as a different MC number, and then the driver who actually does the load or gets to sign the load don't even know they're assigned the load, because Nancy hasn't told that driver yet, and the driver said, I don't even want to do that load. So it's...
Oh, my God. Okay, yeah. So Jess, you look like... Are you working yet, Jess? Are you still...
Yes.
Nope. Oh, yeah, you are working. Right, okay, good. Okay, Jess, can you please help us unpeel this onion? And then I want to get Adam to help us too in just a minute. You'll have to move it closer though. It's hard to hear you.
Sorry. The whole thing is that basically...
Can you hear her?
No, you got to yell at us, Jess. It's Friday.
Is that better?
Yes. I like how you kicked it out of there with some energy.
For the headphones. I'm getting fed up with it.
Good. I like it. That's much better. Go for it, girl.
Welcome to the party.
So the owner operators mostly work under, like they lease on, and they lease on for a certain period of time with these major companies. As per, I know we don't really mention companies, Evans, just that's the company that my father's actually leaving and becoming his own carrier. Now, people like me, I would consider myself a logistics coordinator, because I do a lot, and I work for one other company and my dad, but I am a hire on to both of those companies. It's a little complicated with me, I guess, in a way, because that isn't the norm. Because before all this,
I feel like there isn't a norm.
Hey, Jess, I can break this down. Would the state that you live in consider you an employee of those businesses?
Yes, I'm a W-2.
Okay.
Ooh. So, Jess, do you handle dispatch services? Let's start there.
Yes. I handle dispatch services.
What do you call dispatch services? Can you define it for us?
getting the loads out to the driver, communicating with the shippers, communicating with the drivers. Basically, the way that I see it is I've got a driver who don't want to deal with, he don't want to deal with the brokers. He don't care what the problem is. He don't want to deal with the brokers. Besides the one time he didn't want to wake me up at 4 a.m.
Just stay focused though.
So
your services are, like, do you find the loads? Do you find the shipments?
Yes.
Where do you find them? On like a load board?
Yep.
And then you call the driver and say, hey, do you want this?
I deal with company drivers, so I call the boss.
So they take it. You decide and then you give it to them.
Pretty much. And okay. He leaves it up to my discretion in a way. It just depends. If there's something that I'm eerie about, I consult with him, but he leaves it up to my discretion a lot because I'm pretty good with that. Plus, it all just depends on the rate and
okay. I like where that, it's Jess, going. We like to deal with folks who don't need to call the driver to call me back, where I think the driver and the dispatcher should already have a call before you call somebody off of a load board. But it sounds like you have full autonomy to making these decisions for what your driver's going to do. So I do like that part.
Yes, for the most part. I mean, we have somebody who calls us like every day and is like, hey, can you guys do this? Like earlier today, we were asked to do something on Monday, but it was an ice cream load and it didn't pay very much. And it was like, wait, negative 20 in 90 degree heat? No way, we're not doing it. It's just one of those kind of shake off kind of things.
Okay. Let me jump over to Adam real quick. Adam, what are your thoughts hearing all this? And do you have something to teach me? And for those of you who don't know, look up Adam on LinkedIn, but also look up him on Instagram because he has a Tuesday night show, right, Adam?
Coming up Tuesday nights, yep.
Tuesday nights. And yes. I learn from his show. I'm on there. I learn. So I'm not very good at Instagram, but I do watch you. So Adam, what are your thoughts of all this?
Man, so I've got a lot. I got a lot of thoughts. Because I kind of split down in the middle and I'm hearing what Chandler's saying and I'm in agreement with some of the stuff that he's saying. And I can hear some of the confusion that's coming out of it. But so like the first thing when you ask, what is a dispatcher? So when I think about a dispatcher, I think about somebody that facilitates the movement of the information to the truck. That's what the term dispatcher means.
Defined.
Okay. All I'm doing is I'm just sending you the information and telling you to dispatch you to the location. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you're crossing that fine line when you're negotiating rates and you're standing in a gap. So the true meaning to me is that that's a carrier representative. Me as a carrier, I have the full authority to choose who I want to choose to represent me in my behalf. Most dispatch companies, when they set up their agreements with their carriers, if you notice this, and Cassandra, you might want to close your ears to this, but they sign limited power of attorneys, right? So just like Chandler was saying, hey, you know what? I don't know if I'm talking to the carrier, I'm talking to the driver, whom I'm talking to. Well, the dispatcher is supposed to be the carrier representative. They represent the carrier. They fill out a power of attorney. So just like the young lady was just speaking a minute ago, they have full autonomy to make those decisions. But to Chandler's point, you'll get a lot of them, and I'm gonna just be honest with you, you're going to have a lot of them that might just say, hey, I got to ask my driver because they just don't want to take your load. They just want an easy way to get off the phone from you. So honestly, that's not a fact that I got to talk to my driver. I just don't want to talk to you anymore.
Oh,
so that's basically what that comes down to.
I already understand.
So Chandler, I already understand it. Wait, I want to pause on something. That power of attorney thing.
Yes.
For those of you out there who are using that power of attorney, you don't need to. It's just an agency agreement is enough. Power of attorney for carriers, that's too broad. You should back off on that because they could do a lot more with that. You're right, I have a heart attack. I can't leave it alone. And then the other thing is in the regulations, the exception to having broker liability, you don't need it if you are a bona fide agent. So if you are a true dispatcher and you're an agent of the carrier and you have an agency agreement, you actually don't have to have broker authority. So that's a good part. It's good to hear that. So you're explaining what Chandler and I were trying to get to.
That's it. And, you know, the thing about it is that when you talk about, to me, all right, so you think about all of the people that are getting into the business, the new authorities, and you got people that are getting into the business that really don't have any understanding on how to even book a load. Well, they reach out to a dispatch service because a dispatch service has the experience. They generally have the relationship, so they build relationship with brokers. And in most cases, they're pretty honest, right? So I think Chandler brought a point up a few minutes ago, and I was listening to this. where he's talking about, hey, you know, you got two different MCs and you got somebody that's juggling MCs back and forth. Well, yeah, of course it could be an integrity issue. But if you're dealing with someone with integrity, that might be able to save your butt in some case. Because you may have a load that may have fallen off from a load, but a dispatcher may have another carrier that might be in the area. If they meet the qualifications, if they meet your minimum broker qualifications, then why can't they say, hey, as long as we get the carrier agreement signed correctly, as long as they properly set up in your system, as long as they pass your minimum qualifications, then actually can be a benefit to you then when you're dealing with someone that has multiple people that they can lean on. So I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, I mean, it kind of goes both ways. I think it goes back to integrity, because when I think about what a dispatcher, and I hate the term dispatcher, I really do, because it's more to it than that. I mean, there's negotiations. You got to deal. You got to be a therapist, because you got to have a driver that's sitting there crying to you about some things that, you know, that may not be a part of the issue, or you may have a broker that's sitting there giving you the business. So you got to play therapist sometimes. But the one thing I can tell you about a really, really good dispatcher, and I hate using that, so we're going to call it a carrier representative. So a real good carrier representative is going to operate with integrity, right? They're building relationship with brokers, right? And they're taking these people that have become new to the business, and they're starting to learn the business, starting to learn the ropes. They want to get moving. They want to make money. There's a lot of pressure on them to be successful, because those bills are not going to stop for them. When you got a good dispatch service, it could be a big benefit to your company, period. And then I heard something about, and I'm sorry if I'm going over my time, but I got one other thing.
I'm soaking it all in.
So then we talk about percentages, right? So I heard, you know, how in the world could we charge 10%? Well, I've seen both sides. I've seen dispatch companies charging 10%, and I know dispatch companies that charge 3%, right? This is a free society. You know, when you go to Publix, you can't say, hey, you know, if I buy a chicken breast at Publix, it's one price. Well, I'm gonna go to Whole Foods and it's gonna be another. It's a free society. But if you're able to provide value, and if you're able to read between lines and provide that value and justify that 10%, then so be it. It's the same thing as if you get that 3%, you know, if you're able to justify that value. So I don't understand, and I'm gonna disagree a little bit with the percentage. If you don't like the percentage, then do your research, you know, see if there's someone else out there. But you can't say, okay, because this person is charged 10%, they're ripping you off, because they might be able to do something like positioning you, helping you with IFTA. So we know there are dispatch companies out there that actually help you with IFTA, because you know what? They're tracking your miles in a spreadsheet. They're doing, and it's a pain. So you got companies that actually do
people
that, right? So
track that shit.
So Adam, how do you separate a carrier representative from an agent for a big carrier? Because there's some agents that we've worked with in the past that can offer similar services, but they're actually an agent. They rep in a documented way, they represent multiple MC numbers.
So it, you know, it's almost in all in terminology, to be honest with you, Chandler. It's all in terminology. About responsibility. It's all in terminology. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because to me, a dispatcher is not what the dispatch company does, but they use that because that's the common term that is wild. It's worldwide recognized in the trucking industry as this is what, if I need loads, then I'm going to find a dispatcher, not a carrier representative or a carrier agent. I'm going to find a dispatcher. So like if Chandler, if you go right now and you post an ad on Facebook and throw $100 into it and say, hey, I'm bringing it on trucks. I'm a carrier representative. I'm a carrier agent. And I'm a dispatcher. I guarantee you get more hits as a dispatcher than you'll get as a carrier agent or a carrier representative. It's because it's just in the terminology.
You've hit the whole problem right there on the head. There's a terminology issue. There's a lack of understanding as well, which is clear by the show. That's why Chandler and I wanted to have it. And the thing is, too, is that we need to come up with a name. I like carrier representative. The only problem is brokers use that name. We have carrier sales and carrier representatives in brokerage companies. So we got to come up with a new name, Chandler.
Yeah, the carrier representative did not exist when we opened. And then these freight brokerages are digitally enhanced. they've opened in the last 5 or 6 years. They came up with this name, carrier representative, because it didn't exist when we got into the marketplace.
It's okay. So Adam, do you mind staying with us for a little while? And
sure.
I want to go through some of these questions. Do you guys see this? We have Amanda Miller. Thank God you guys have questions.
Yeah, I want to know these questions.
Yeah. Amanda Miller has been feeding us questions as she always does. So look for Amanda Miller. She's actually a broker out of Alabama. She's awesome. I think she does a lot of flatbed. So if you need a flatbed broker, look for Amanda Miller and hit her up. And also, if you need a Chandler, because you do funky work, don't you? Like, you do, like, oversized and
crazy. Do anything
stuff
that you can't, are we allowed to say this? Anything that can't be Uberized, that's what we want to focus on.
That's your line of work. I like it. So check out Chandler and connect with him and connect with Adam. And you guys, I'm telling you, part of the most important part of Mad Gains, besides the education, is getting in the comments and connecting with the people in the comments and the guests. Because we're all, I like to think of us, I'm a little bit of a snob, as the cream of the crop. We're all trying to be better at what we do. We want to be excellent. And that's why we're all here. So you're hanging out with people that are similar to you. So connect with them and make friends and network, especially in a time where it's really fucking hard to network right now.
Right.
So let's, Amanda Miller has been feeding me questions and we have tons of them. So I'm going to try my hardest to look over these questions right now and pop in. So give me 1 second to just check these out.
While you're checking those out, I was going to share with you, I spoke to one of our favorite agents and asked if they wanted to come on the show. And he said that he would prefer to stay under a rock with his tinfoil hat on than to come out on the show. But
I heard that a couple times myself.
Yeah, he might be hanging out in those comments. So I don't know if he's throwing anything over there. But one of the biggest things that we kind of discussed in our call was the right dispatcher with the right experience knows how to fix issues. The wrong ones run away from the problem and let the broker fend for themselves to deal with the problem. So that's where a good dispatch service, kind of like what Adam was speaking of, a good one who's in the game can be a benefit instead of a negative.
Adam, what is your service? Are you in that area?
We're a consulting firm. So what we do is we help people build trucking companies from the ground up. We help other trucking companies scale up. We help trucking companies make more profitable decisions. We just overall, now we do have a carrier service division that does include dispatching, but it's what we call carrier services, right? So we're providing a service to the carrier. And so I heard the carrier representative, and I like the fact that we brought that up, that you say, well, you can't say that because that's a more of a broker term, but even if I look in it real deeply, a carrier service agency is also a representative of the carrier. So if the broker and the carrier have a relationship, then the agency and the carrier couldn't have the same relationship. Is that what I'm hearing?
Okay, so here's the thing. Chandler's going to give the answer from a business perspective. I'm going to give it from a legal perspective because I think I heard you correctly. I apologize if I didn't.
So our experience with the good agents is that there's usually somebody that owns these trucks within that network, and there's different agents can essentially book those trucks on our shipments. You could choose to work with that the agent that owns those trucks directly, or you could work with another agent in the system that might rep that one and a few other lines. So we have no issue of doing either one. And we always want to be transparent about which way we want to go with it so that they're not confused, because there are times we'd rather work with the agent that owns those trucks as opposed to the agent that's just dispatching those trucks. And then a third component of it is sometimes my staff gets a hold of the wrong agent with the right trucks. And then we have to kind of escalate that to where we don't want to work with that agent. We want to work with a different agent to get access to those trucks.
Makes sense. I will tell you that from a legal perspective, I think I'm going to surprise a lot of people when I say this, but it's also going to add a lot of clarification and piggyback on what Adam's been saying, which is, pursuant to the law, the broker is actually an agent of the shipper. That's the way the law treats everything. So when a broker signs a contract with a carrier, the broker is binding a shipper to that contract. And the broker is a shipper. So it's interesting. We have to come up with a new word, a new term for these carrier services. It's like they're a broker for carriers. Because all of us who are in the, I say us because, you know, Chandler's here and I've worked for brokers, but they're brokers for shippers. And these dispatch services sounds like it's way more brokering for carriers. What I see constantly, oh wait, I can't forget. We got to go to these questions because we've
been racking up.
But I can tell you that here's a good one. Does the dispatch service, and Adam, maybe you can help us with this. Does the dispatch service represent themselves as a carrier when they're talking to a broker?
No. So I can speak on that too. So it depends. I've heard it to where when a dispatcher calls, I'm Adam with Mad Game Trucking. And I'm calling a load you got posted from Bradbury, New York to Atlanta, Georgia. So at that point, I'm calling on that behalf. Then I've also seen on the other side where, hey, I'm calling from Mad Gains Transportation and Logistics, and we're calling on this load. And when they ask for the MC, then they say, oh, well, I represent multiple carriers. But here's the thing. If you're one of those good carrier services representative, represent the carrier, you work as a service for the carrier. You are a carrier. With that power of attorney and being an agent of that carrier, you are representing that carrier. So when you make that phone call, you are with that carrier. So I am with Mad Gains Trucking, if that makes sense. So I know it's kind of sticky, but at the same time, I'm with them. I'm with that carrier. I have signed a limited power of attorney. I'm an agent for that company. They pay me to provide them a service. I provide them that service. They pay me for the service. So in essence, in theory, I'm with them. You know, I'm part of their organization as a representative of their organization.
Okay. So Cassandra, when we work with the Nancys out there, the Nancys actually represent themselves as they work at that trucking company until there's a problem. Then they're a dispatch service.
And that is what makes shippers and brokers so angry. Because they will set up in their TMS and they will vet a dispatching service as a carrier. And they never knew it wasn't the carrier they're talking to, it was the dispatch service. They've never even talked to the carrier. The carrier didn't even sign the contract. And it never is illuminated until there's a problem.
Right.
And that's why this becomes such a heated topic. Is because
as soon as there's a problem, they'll tell you they are not working at the carrier.
All of a sudden.
Right, immediately.
And then you're like, well, who does work at the carrier? Who am I supposed to file the cargo claim with? Who am I supposed to talk to? I want to talk to an executive at the carrier. Like, what? I haven't been talking to the carrier this entire time? Nope, you haven't. And for those of you who are in brokerage, sometimes your carrier salespeople will know they're working with a dispatcher. And it's a way to get around your compliance policies. I'm going to let that soak in for a minute.
That makes me uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Very, very. But that's then you've got, like, so how do you take the, so at that point, then how do you take those ones that are doing the honest work, that are really working with integrity, with the carrier in mind, because we know on both sides, there's some integrity issues on both sides. So how do you put those to the forefront? And just like you said, we've got to come up with a better solution.
We do.
You know, it's we have to. That's what we're here to do. So what is it? You know, what can we call the right? What does right look like?
What does right?
Adam, for us, it's been the longevity. How long have they been doing it? And it's the ones that have been seasoned and do it a long time. The other ones who will be there. It's just how do you pick those apart from the initial introduction? So that they don't, so the bad ones don't try to, you know, persuade you that they're really one of the good ones.
So I like that. I think that that's how Mad Gains was even born. Is you could say that, Adam, for every area. How do you find the good shippers? How do you find the good brokers? How do you find the good carriers? How do you find the good dispatch services? So I'm trying to unite all of us who are excellent at what we do onto the same platform, because if you're watching the show, there's no way that you're a Nancy, which Chandler and I have named the person who pretended to be the carrier.
Nancy would never watch this show. And if she is, I'll tell her hello.
Nancy told us that she was a carrier and us as brokers and shippers. And then when there was a problem, she was not very helpful and said, I'm not the carrier. And that's what angers everybody. So I think for now, that's this platform. I'm trying to not be too promoting, but I am promoting. This platform is what our solution is going to have to be until the VC world, which Chandler picked up within 5 minutes of this frickin' show, that the VC world has not hit on the dispatch services area yet. Right, Adam?
That's right. Like,
they're all over brokerage for Sivers.
Oh, yeah.
They haven't hit on your
area. Got it in my space. Those VCs need to do the dispatch service, or they need to go do QuickBooks for drivers.
QuickBooks for drivers. I like that. This is, Steve Press says there are VC funding. We haven't heard of it. We'd be so interested to see what it would be. Because this sounds like it's more than just something you can have as tech. You have to have people and conversations, because you heard Adam say that he's sometimes a psychiatrist. So I want to make sure that...
What other questions do you have?
It's a lot of confusion around the gray between the actual true dispatch services. I'm trying to make sure that I'm not saying a whole line. Give me 1 second. Because there's just so many, there are so many questions, but a lot of them we've either hit on.
We didn't even cover the agents.
Okay. So we did actually a little bit with Adam, but let's talk about that then.
Right.
And that's Nancy, right? Oh, wait, we have a lot of people.
No, that's not Nancy. I'm talking about the agents that represent the big brands that have lots of trucks. Like one of the agents we deal with reps 12 different MC numbers. And their smallest MC number has 150 trucks. Their largest MC number has 7,000 trucks. Between their basket of 12 MC numbers, they have access to 12,000 trucks that they can book. Now, what do they work with on a day-to-day basis is a solid 200 trucks. So if I had a project or something, I could go to one of these agents and I could get 4 trucks from brand X, 3 trucks from brand Y to kind of complete my order. And then I get to deal with one dispatcher, logistics coordinator, carrier representative person to make that happen. And I'm trying to see what other notes I had regarding that.
So question for you, Chandler.
Yes.
Who are you booking the load with in your TMS?
We're booking it with the big carrier.
With the true carrier.
Yes.
And then you're billing that carrier directly, not the agency?
The carrier will definitely bill us. And they vet us. And some of them are really pretty solid. There's one of them that if your credit's even somewhat shaky, they won't even let you have their trucks. So some of those big agencies do a good service for the owner operators leased onto them.
Because what I'm hearing is, I felt like the agency model is what Adam was talking about. That's why you need an agency agreement. When you're in dispatch services, you're a carrier representative and you're an agent of the carrier. And it could be an agent of 50 carriers, right, Adam?
That's right. You can be an agent of however many carriers want to hire you to perform a service. So it's just like if you're a contractor, well, you know what, that's my tile guy. You know, I mean, I don't own him, but, you know, at that point, if he's doing tile work for me, that's my tile guy. You know, well, this is my yard guy. This is my landscaper, you know, and that's how you look at it from a carrier standpoint. Hey, that's my dispatch service, because just like, you know, Chandler was kind of alluding to the amount of trucks. The smallest trucks, Chandler, you said you have was like 150, right? So we're talking about
agent, yes.
We're talking about huge fish ponds in that situation. You got a good capacity, a stronghold. But then on the other side, you know, when you got smaller carriers where it's just a single owner operator, or maybe one person that's got one or two trucks, well, guess what? They're fishing for all this freight. They need someone that has access to a network such as you. So that's access to a relationship such as you. Mm-hmm. So I hate the word dispatcher, and I hate the term dispatcher because it's so convoluted, but the service itself is necessary. And to me, and I know it's going to be people that disagree, but to me, I think that it's a 100% legitimate business as long as it's done correctly and as long as it stays within those areas. Now, I do agree. Now, don't get me wrong. That whole, hey, you know, as long as everything goes good, you know, I'm there, but last thing, if something goes wrong, screw you, see you later. I think that's totally screwed up. But it goes on both sides. You know what I'm saying? It goes both ways, because you'll have a broker who will sign an agreement on a $2,600 load, and next thing you know, you can't get in contact with them anymore. So when it comes to integrity, integrity is a seesaw in the industry. It ebbs and flows. But to my point, and kind of in a comparison, I do believe that in this environment, with the amount of newness and the amount of technology capabilities that there are, I think the overall service is a need. I think there's also needs to be some form of, I don't even want to call it legislation, but there needs some sort of standard operating practice across the industry for what right looks like. If we had a real legitimate discussion on what the right dispatch service should look like, then if that can trickle down, then I think it would make a much more of a positive impact, because right now what's being impacted most importantly are the relationships between the brokers, the shippers, and the carriers. We're getting further and further apart.
And the drivers.
And the drivers.
Chandler, I think we should start calling our, like you, I think you're a shipper broker. And we should start defining like brokers, like you're a carrier broker and you're a shipper broker. But I'll tell you, okay, so Jason.
I'm okay with that, as long as you're not going to increase my bond.
And according to the law, you don't get an increase of bond, and these carrier brokers are agents. As long as they have agent agreements with these carriers and they're acting as true bona fide agents, they don't need to have a bond at all. They don't need a broker authority at all. So it seems like the only ones who are brokers of shippers need to have that authority. And I think that's where the major confusion comes in. I noticed that, Jason, I saw you on YouTube. And for those of you who are still on Facebook, I saw some of our numbers are high on some of the Facebook tabs. There's three of them, three pages. Head on over to YouTube and join in the conversation. And look for Amanda Miller. She is feeding me the questions. Jason had a question, which was, Adam, is your dispatch service signing, or whatever the carrier representative services, are they signing the broker or the shipper's contracts on behalf of the carrier?
In times they do. In times they do. And in the limited power of attorney, it states that they have the authorization to do so. So they are, in effect, doing that.
And so, Jason, that's a great question. That's one that I've been asking as well, and I like. My thing is that that's really dangerous from a broker-shipper perspective. If you have somebody like Adam, who truly is getting that authorization, that agency agreement, or that power of attorney, that's good, because he's going to provide it to demonstrate that there was authority to sign it. But what if they can't provide it? The shipper and the broker, they're stuck. They've got a problem. And the other thing is that really bothers me. So anybody in risk and compliance, hear me now. What really bothers me is I love these services, but I do think it's a way for carrier sales on the shipper side, broker shipper side. I do think it's a way to get around a carrier that you wouldn't normally use. You go to a agent, you go to a dispatch service who you know they'll use that carrier. And you've set them up as another carrier in your software. Here's another question that came up from Ignacio. Actually, Adam, I'm going to pop you back into the audience, give you a break, you poor thing. You're amazing. So anybody who's not following Adam, connect with him on LinkedIn. Also, Adam, you're welcome anytime. Come in. You're amazing. And also, make sure to watch his shows on Tuesday. You'll learn quite a bit about our industry. So thank you very much, Adam. Let me pop him back into. one question from, and I'm going to get to everybody else who has their hands raised as well. I see that there's a bunch of people. And Amanda Miller is the one who, if anybody wants to come on, they got to raise their virtual hand. Amanda Miller will give you the instructions and let you know she's a broker, a flatbed broker out of Alabama. Ignacio had a question, and I saw this question earlier come in, and we won't go for much longer because I think my brain's kind of frying out with this topic. Ignacio had a question I'm going to answer very quickly. With all these new lawsuits, Amanda Miller sent this to me. With all these new lawsuits where there are deaths involved and there are lawyers that sue the carriers, are they going to try to sue the brokers, and are they suing dispatcher services as well? That is a great question. So are these carrier brokers, are they going to be subject to lawsuits just like shipper brokers are? The thing is that, as you guys know, and if those of you who are interested in this topic on YouTube, there is a plaintiff attorney that I interviewed, and there are quite a few lawsuit-related videos. You know, these plaintiff attorneys are looking for insurance, And we've learned that these carrier brokers are exemptions to the law. They don't need to get broker authority, which means they don't have insurance and they don't need it. And for that reason, the plaintiff attorneys are not going to be as interested in these types of brokers. Further, it's easier to sue the broker and the shipper, not only because they have more money, but because there's more communication in the way. So like the bill of ladings and the communications from the shippers and the brokers to the carrier, there's just more communications to draw the attorney's attention to the shipper and the broker of the shipper. That is why they become targets. I think it's a low risk for dispatchers because I don't think that they're in the paperwork as much. And I think it's harder for a plaintiff attorney to find. And then when they do find them, it's a harder argument to make and there's no insurance.
Yeah, my impression was that attorneys are going to go after everybody in the whole chain, anybody and everybody.
They do if they think there's insurance, and they attend these conferences and share and la, 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 la. And what they do is they'll send you a demand letter, and they'll say, hey, we're going to sue you. You have to give us your insurance information. And by law, you do have to give them their insurance information when they demand it in that manner. And you can just tell them, I don't have insurance. Well, they've lost interest in you, unless you're a big name and you're liquid.
So, yeah, I'm kind of curious because I'm looking at some of these questions in your chat, and it's just kind of interesting. But it seems like the dispatch services, you know, if something happens bad, they get to make their money and they get to kind of exit the stage, and the rest of us are there to deal with the fallout.
Yes.
So they get to sneak out the back door.
Yeah. And they may argue that they should be able to sneak out the back door because, you know, all they're doing is finding loads and passing information along to the carrier and being the back office. But technically brokers are back offices and shippers. Why are brokers being dragged into these in these interesting conversations? So I think we might have beat this thing to death. Chandler, it's up to you. I can bring on one more person if you want.
I got some time.
Okay. Let's bring on Todd because we love Todd. Todd was with us a couple episodes ago. And don't forget, for those of you who are still with us and we're learning about dispatchers, don't forget a couple things. Look in the comments for my comment. I have next Thursday, I have a cargo claims training course that's intense. It's good for you. It is paid, but it'll be worth it. And then also make sure that you're subscribing. You're hitting that subscribe button and that notify button right there on YouTube. And check out my other videos. There's a lot. You guys, we had a really busy week. So Wednesday, Chandler watched the entire show on Wednesday, which is
yeah, great. I even got you a trophy.
You did? I love trophies.
Yeah, see?
Oh, is that my swear jar? It should be like 20 of those if that's my
This swear loose
jar.
Change is rare. I mean, you know, all the stores are running out of coins, so that's your trophy.
That's so true. I'll tell you, on Wednesday we talked about double brokering. We talked about fraud. We really got into a lot of good stuff. And on Friday, we talked about cargo claims. So you guys got a lot of stuff you can learn. Todd, welcome to the party. Yeah. We loved having you last time. What have you been thinking about all this? Are you, Todd, a broker, right?
Well, no, asset carrier with a brokerage.
Asset carrier with
a brokerage.
I grew up in brokerage.
But to me, I'm with Adam. Like, I'm where he's at. But it's not, to me, it's not a carrier broker. It's 4PL versus 3PL. So you have a shipper, you have a broker in the middle, and then shippers can outsource their functions to a 4PL in the same way that carriers can outsource their functions to this whole dispatcher argument over terms. The difference is, do they realize the freight revenue or not? 3PLs realize the freight revenue. To me, it's not a matter of are they negotiating rates or any of that. It's do they realize the freight revenue? Is I think what it comes back to. That's the pinnacle that separates for me a 4PL versus a 3PL, and then this dispatcher versus the broker. So it's their outsourcing. I agree with Chandler.
You've added a whole nother layer, because Chandler and I were never entering in. We were staying in the 2PL dimension. We never added on that layer of 3PL and 4PL dimension. It is interesting to think about that way, that unless there's somebody who's going to come on and tell us, yeah, we do recognize the carrier's revenue, which would be weird. Hold on. Let me check the regs. I mean, I guess they could.
Do you just walk around the regs in your pocket like that?
Yes, usually it's actually on my phone, but because the phones are taken up with every social media platform.
Oh, I gotcha.
Stuff out for this show. I don't like to waste the trees. I just wanted to double check, but you have added on a whole nother layer. So what you're arguing is that if you wanted to take this from a perspective of a shipper has a 4PL, and a 4PL is when a shipper really takes their entire transportation arm and gives it to a broker, right?
Or pieces of it, and not necessarily a broker, to another company. A lot of brokers do 4PL too, but a lot of times it's a separate company. And they're outsourcing all of their transportation people or some of the functions, i.e. Load tendering, routing guide management, tracking and tracing, RFP management, all of those types of things. Yep, freight bill audit, the back, the, you know, and the back office functions. Mm. And then they pay, they could pay a percentage, they could pay a flat fee, they could pay, you know, other ways. And so that's,
I suddenly see what you mean. Actually, yeah. You're saying, Cassandra, this whole time, they're not brokers or carriers, they're the 4PLs of carriers.
Correct.
Damn, that's smart, Todd.
You make the Nancy sound way better.
But I, Chandler, I'm with
Nancy's
you. That's what I'm.
4PL of carriers.
Yeah, the carrier PL. That's what
we'll
call
PL
it.
Mean again?
Party logistics. So but I, I'm with Chandler. Like being coming from my old position and being very involved with the digital disruption, I've always been on the viewpoint that it's not going to disintermediate the brokers. It's going to. It has the potential to disintermediate dispatcher positions. And it already is trickling into that. So all the money that's going into digital freight matching allows owner operators, whether leased on with a company or independent, to capitalize on artificial intelligence to get their load tenders. As you start thinking, playing out this vision of it can tender or predict where you're headed and what load you like and what rates you like, then now as an owner operator, that can handle all of that load finding, negotiation, and dispatching functionality. So what needs to be solved for, like Chandler said, the back office functionality, the insurance, the other things they get when they lease on with the company.
So Danye, you hear that, you're a 4PL of carriers. That's really cool, Todd.
Yeah, it's a great really perspective.
Cool. Yeah, I think it makes it an easier way to kind of separate. But I agree, they absolutely provide value, and there's a value there, and there's good ones and bad ones, like anything else. But
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because I told Cassandra that 50% of them are gold, and the other 50% are raw sewage. I mean, it's just, there's no middle ground. They're either really
what
good.
What makes them raw really sewage, bad. Though, Chandler?
What's that?
What makes them raw sewage? Is it the lack of transparency? I hate to use that fucking word right now. I hate that word right now.
No, there's a word I hate worst.
What?
Unprecedented.
Oh, no. Or the new norm. Oh, I hate that one, too. And the worst one of all of them is moist. Just a horrible word. Okay, sorry. Chandler, what makes, why, can you explain to people why we get so angry, shippers and brokers get so angry about these dispatch services, which are 4PLs for carriers?
Well, as you're going and you're signing your loads and you're going throughout the day, and then you're having your team's doing the check calls, and you're starting to have problems, and you're starting to babysit a certain carrier or a certain driver, and you find out the dispatcher, like the drivers, most of those drivers that work for the Nancy's, they don't even know they've been assigned to the load. You're asking them, hey, are you already empty? And, you know, are you 30 minutes away from the shipper or a couple hours away from the shipper? And they're like, I haven't even made my previous delivery. And you're like, what happens? So Nancy just tells you everything she wants you to, you know, think is great so she can get a rate confirmation. And she slaps one of her carriers on there and pushes it down her little chain. And so that's what makes it so hard. Whereas you get somebody like Adam or his team, you have somebody who's there with you, and that driver's not going to make your pickup on time, but I have another driver with a different carrier I could sign up quickly and get them picked up.
Here's a key word right there, though. Did you guys hear that? I have another driver, which is another MC number, by the way. That's what that means. Another MC number needs to sign up quickly. That's when mistakes are being made, because you're in a pinch. And I'm not saying, Chandler, you do this at all. I can't get off of this. Carrier sales is allowing this. I know it. And they're keeping the current MC number and they're letting the dispatch service find another MC number. And the problem is going to come in when AP receives an invoice for a carrier they have no record of in their TMS. And then
we won't screw it up that bad, but we will try to shove it through a system. We've done it in the past. We want to do it currently, but we've done it in the past.
Yeah. So that's my thing. Okay. So I don't know why you guys are still hanging around. Listen to this. This is crazy. I don't know how anybody's heads are not exploding. First of all, we've learned that the dispatch services is a poor name, like Adam had said. It's more like what Todd said too. It's a 4PL for carriers. And maybe we get frustrated because we don't fucking understand it.
Some of them need to be called dispatch services. I mean, Adam's giving
it a fancy. It sounds like nobody's really truly a dispatcher, ever.
Yeah, and that terminology is so, because it's like, well, within some trucking companies, you have customer service, load planning, dispatching, or fleet management, and actually giving the orders or the directions or setting the driver on the load, and then the back office, and it's like,
you missed an important one. These guys are on load boards looking for freight.
For freight, yep. And I group that in customer service or load finding. Yep. Or the load planning, like a load planner we have at our company. Yep. And they're doing all of that.
I'm sure the load board people that own those load boards are watching your show. And some of those load boards need to know that the ones with the basket of 12 MC numbers only have one or two accounts under one MC number. So the other MC numbers don't even have accounts with those load boards, but they're still getting loads off those load boards. I know that load boards, from what little bit I know, they track by where the IP address is located, but the that's how those Nancy's are able to book so many loads. Is they have one carrier who agreed to sign up with a load board account, and they use that one account and pilfer the loads for the rest of the other carriers.
Yep.
Here's the interesting thing is, like you were saying, the dispatchers, or as we're talking about, has low risk of lawsuit because of the size and the low dollar amount, and et cetera. But brokerages have been subject to lawsuits because of terminology like dispatch, or they dispatch the driver, in which case the courts argue, or the attorneys argue that that carrier works for them. And so brokers are actually taking the lawsuit because they're using that terminology.
Oh, shit, Todd. I completely forgot about that argument.
Yeah, that's scary.
Remember Ignacio's question? Shit. Because they are an agent of the carrier. Whenever you're an agent of anyone, you are very liable.
But they're low risk because there's no money there. Like they're easy to recreate, and they're not recognizing the freight revenue, so they're not large organizations.
Yeah, because they could even be paid in cash by the carrier.
Yeah. Oh my God, you guys, this is crazy. Okay, my head, I don't know about anybody else. My head's about to explode.
We could get the IRS to audit all those shady dispatchers, because if they're getting paid in cash, you know, we could get them removed.
Yeah, Chandler and I need time to digest this. And there are other people with their hands raised here on Zoom. And I'm sorry, I need time to digest this. This is a lot. You kind of just blown my whole world.
I've never seen this happen to you before.
Yeah, I'm like flustered. I need time to research and process this. And also, I think that a lot of people complain about dispatchers. The Nancy's, they're the easy ones to complain about.
Oh, absolutely.
Legitimately so. And shippers and brokers have been burnt by the Nancy's so many times. But then there are so many good ones out there that are truly providing a lot of really great services. And I think we've lost the term of dispatch entirely. I wish I could play some more calming music. My closing music was really uptight. When you hear my closing music, it was like,
hey, this. Cassandra, you need to get one of these.
Yeah, what is that?
So it's called Monopoly Deal. It's the card version of Monopoly.
I love Monopoly.
You can actually play this in 15 minutes.
15 minutes? Monopoly takes like 5 hours.
No, it's 15 minutes.
I like it. I'm going to play that.
Your first game won't go 15 minutes because you have to learn everything. But after 15 minutes, you can dominate the game. And
I wonder if Chandler, you guys do think that Chandler's getting paid for this from Monopoly? That'd be awesome.
Yes, Hasbro. Hasbro.com.
To anybody who wants a good Texas broker, make sure to look up Chandler. He's on LinkedIn. He's everywhere. Make sure to look him up. He's got a good company. He does things right. Thank you. Send me messages about this dispatcher business and what your thoughts are. And don't forget, next Thursday, I have a cargo claims course. And make sure that you subscribe to YouTube. We will see you next week. We have very special treats for you next week. Chandler, thank you so much for joining us.
This is awesome. Thank you so much.
This is crazy. All right, take care, guys. Thank you, everybody. And thank you to Amanda Miller. Much appreciated.